Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen. And it is a new era for Raiders football, a new day. Antonio Pierce, the interim head coach, he certainly brought the energy to the Wednesday introductory press conference, and I think has brought a new energy to this team since they fired Josh McDaniels. Vic, Tashawn, you guys got a chance to hang out in the locker room on Thursday, and to say that there was a new energy in the locker room is probably an understatement. I didn't see you guys riding or talking about any tears being shed. It seemed like a pretty happy place in there on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we walk in, we got Davante Adams versus Amir Abdullah, one-on-one basketball with the mini hoop. Very intense matchup. Got offensive linemen wrestling in the corner. We just heard a bunch of grunting and random noises over there in the corner. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Look over, guys are wrestling, and a bunch of laughs, a bunch of smiles. Everybody's upbeat. I mean, so it's a new day, like Antonio Pierce said.
I felt like I forgot the beer and chips. Like it was a big party that I was supposed to bring something to. But yeah, it was definitely it was something. It definitely I don't know if they're trying to make a point, but I mean, Davante definitely looked like he was a whole new person. So. Yeah, I mean, obviously things were tight. I think Renfro said they're like walking on eggshells around the old staff, and so it's a new day, and everyone's excited. And I'm looking forward to seeing the game Sunday. They got nothing to lose, obviously, so we'll see how they play.
I mean, shit, even Jimmy Garoppolo, which is his birthday yesterday, and I know the social team kind of caught some heat for tweeting about happy birthday that morning, but he was laughing and smiling in the locker room. I couldn't believe my eyes, man. Davante was showing him some kind of basketball video on his phone. He cracking up laughing. I mean, even the guy that just got benched is in a good mood. I've never seen anything like that yesterday.
Yeah, Devontae's got like high school basketball clips in his phone that are quickly to at his disposal. It's pretty amazing. Like, he just showed you like, hey, man, I hope to help this guy at 9 points and blah. I mean, so it's pretty interesting. But yeah, it was definitely a fun day.
We saw the introduction with Antonio Pearson. I mean, when they named him the interim coach, I think you guys have had a chance to talk to him a few times, but you know, certainly he's not a guy that does these press conferences. So I think for most Raider fans, didn't have a great sense of who exactly this guy was, what kind of personality he was. It took you about 10 seconds to just sit there and listen to him and talk and talking about how he was born a Raider, you know, Brock and NWA straight out of Compton, and just the way he kind of, I think, grabbed your attention there. I think if you're a Raiders fan, you were probably sitting there after the last 21 months of just energy being sapped away watching Josh McDaniels. You had to be pretty fired up listening to him. And I think it was immediately clear why this guy was chosen to be the interim coach.
He's a middle linebacker, basically. You know, that's basically his personality, and that comes through. And, you know, like, obviously, you know, we talk about it, like, winning the press conference doesn't necessarily mean you're about to go undefeated or anything like that. But I think it's more about just setting a tone and a different level of energy and, you know, kind of revitalizing the team. I mean, players talked about it the last couple of weeks, you know, have been pretty dead in the locker room, and they just didn't have their juice. They were sort of trying to manufacture it on the sideline in the middle of games. And that's just a rough place to be, like, no matter how talented you are, to try to win games with that. And so, you know, Antonio Pierce, like, he's not going to be calling offensive plays or defensive plays, but if he's able to kind of light that fire in the locker room, it could make a difference when it comes to, you know, their performance these next couple of weeks and moving forward with the rest of the season.
I think a lot of times when teams make coaching changes, they look for the opposite. Like, you want, like, this guy wasn't working. What's going to be different from this guy? And I think definitely Antonio is very different from Josh. He's very loud, very direct, very kind of, you can tell why he was a captain when he played football for the Giants. So definitely very kind of an in-your-face leadership style, very kind of engaging. And yeah, I think players loved it. I'm sure, I know fans loved it. Fans are going crazy. They love the approach. And so yeah, it's definitely much different than it was with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this fan base needed to be won back as much as the players in that locker room needed to be won back. Mark Davis, we know he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He is a fan. He owns his team like a fan. He can be quick to make moves. He can be a little all over the place. And he made a hire that was extremely unpopular from the get-go. You know, this was not revisionist history that once they started losing, fans turned on this hire. I mean, I don't think fans, you know, like this hire from the get-go. And they were proven to be right, that Josh McDaniels was not the right man for this job. And so I think that's what a lot of us go in with Antonio Pierce. I think it has revitalized the locker room, at least for a week. Who knows? If they start losing, if they look the same, that's going to go sour quickly. But I think there is some degree where they had to win back the fan base a little bit.
Yeah, and you hear a lot of talk about the Raider way now, like when they had a video with Marshawn Lynch, came into the video for the team social about the Raider way, and Antonio mentioned how, you know, going back to the roots, what this team means. So I think they definitely were sensitive about what they have done. They kind of have, you know, brought in the Patriots way, and fans, you know, hated it, and Dallas had failed miserably. So it's kind of, you know, rebrand themselves back to what they were, kind of the hard-nosed, emotional team that was fun to watch. And this team was not fun to watch the last year and a half.
It's just kind of almost comical. Like, it's almost like somebody wrote a comedy, like the difference between the locker room before, you know, with Josh McDaniels, and then after it, you know, like wrestling and basketball in the locker room. But, you know, nobody came out and blatantly said Josh McDaniels is awful and he created this culture. But it was just like, you know, Hunter Renfrow saying things like he feels like he's not walking on eggshells anymore. And like, we haven't seen players like this happy, you know, since, you know, in the Josh McDaniels era. So it's just such a stark contrast to what happened. And like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to start winning games. But I mean, if, you know, you aren't having a great season and you're getting, you know, scolded and you feel like walking on eggshells the whole time, it's just a terrible environment. And that's probably why the Patriot way doesn't work. It works when you're winning, because you get that energy and you get that motivation from winning. But when you're not winning, it makes things worse. You know, it feels like it almost snowballs the whole thing. So, I mean, I think after all the Belichick disciples that have gone through NFL franchises and has basically ruined them, this is the end of the Patriots way. Like, it's not, I don't think anybody's going to want to capture the Patriots way for their franchise anymore.
Apparently the Patriots way was really the Tom Brady way, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, Jermaine Illuminor's comments were pretty telling. I mean, he basically admitted that on Monday he's over there on the sideline looking across the way at Dan Campbell with googly eyes. Like, man, that's what we want. That's what we need. I need a guy. I need a coach that has that kind of energy. Like, that's what a head coach's job is to bring energy to this team. And by saying that, you know, about Dan Campbell, he's obviously acknowledging that that's not what Josh McDaniels did.
No, and they basically got a Dan Campbell type of coach in Antonio Pierce, former player, you know, motivational guy, player's coach. So, I mean, they pretty much got what Illuminor wanted. And like you said, just an opposite approach and opposite personality from Josh McDaniels.
In terms of how they move forward, Tashawn, you talked to Mark Davis on Wednesday evening. Talked about why he made this move now. He wasn't seeing progress. He was seeing regression. And certainly, you know, there was the idea that those guys thought that they had at least through the end of 2024. I know our Jeff Howe wrote a piece talking to different people around the league about what the message is sent about the attractiveness of this job because of how quickly he moved on. And some of the comments there were, he was trying to preach patience and he didn't show that patience. But I mean, I think, yeah, that's easy to say from the outside. For all of us that watched it up close, Mark might have been trying to preach patience, but like, you got to show him something, and they didn't show him anything. So that's the big difference there. And what were your other takeaways from talking to Mark?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with him, it wasn't an emotional decision because he was you know, fed up with what he was seeing, but it wasn't something that he just made off of 8 games this season. Like, it's not like the Raiders were good last season and had a rough start this season and he pulled the plug. Like you said, it was a 25-game sample, and last year was really awful. And even coming off of that 6-11 season, like, his mandate, you know, this spring, you know, kind of at the owners' meeting was pretty measured. I felt like he was just saying, I want to see progress. Like, it wasn't like, we got to make the playoffs or we got to win the Super Bowl or some of these crazy goals. I just got to see some semblance of progress. And I don't think anybody can look at what's happened this season and say that there was progress. It just wasn't there. If anything, they got worse. Like you said, you saw them regress. And so it wasn't just that they got worse. There wasn't anything to look forward to. It's one thing if they, let's say, they spend a top five pick on a quarterback and they aren't good to start the season because the quarterback is having some growing pains. You can still at least, oh, well, once he gets better, we'll get better. Like, no, you have an aging veteran injured quarterback that they brought in. The offense is stuck in the rut with an offensive-minded head coach. The roster as a whole, you know, still isn't good enough. Like, what was the thing that you would point to justify him giving them more time? Like, it wasn't really there. And so, you know, Mark gave himself the trade deadline to sort of determine whether he felt like there was any hope. Obviously, he didn't think there was. And you know, like, I think everything he said about, like, his evaluation of the job they did, like, I think we would all agree there. I think probably the more interesting thing in terms of, like, moving forward is, you know, him sort of, you know, acknowledging where he might have went wrong with his past head coaching searches. I mean, his first three head coaching searches, he pretty much was trying to hire John Gruden every time. Obviously, finally got him and didn't go well because of, you know, a mix of football reasons and other reasons. But then even last year, he said he was pretty siloed in on Josh McDaniels from the jump, and he considered some other candidates, but, you know, he kind of had in mind who he wanted going into it. And this time he's sort of trying to just start with a blank slate and consider everything wide open and kind of go forward with an open mind. And I think that's, if it holds true, you know, we'll see, I guess, you know, when the search starts. But, like, I think that's a good sign of, like, growth from him as an owner, because – you know, as bad as we, you know, we're talking about McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, the GM, like, Mark Davis's tenure as owner has not been good. Like, I mean, you got this many head coaching changes and GM changes and roster turnovers. The one constant is the owner. And so he hasn't done a good job with picking people to lead his franchise. And it seems like he, you know, acknowledges that and is going to try to make some changes going forward into this process to try to rectify that.
Yeah, I'm curious what his approach will be to the job search. Like, in the past, he's always outsourced. Like, he went to Ron Wolf way back, and this last time went to Ken Harrock, who was kind of in charge of the whole process, the interviews and the questions, and kind of led the way. And when I talked to Ken, when they hired these two guys, one of the more jarring things he said was, I asked him about, you know, how much he looked at the whole Broncos debacle with Josh McDaniels. I said, oh, no, I wouldn't worry about that. You know, we know who these guys are, and we know that, you know, the Patriots system. And
use the direct quote. We don't give a fuck about the Broncos.
Yeah, that was the quote. So Ken's the character. But yeah, definitely, that was kind of it was weird to hear then, and it's weird to hear now. Like, you know, usually in a job interview, you know, you want to look at the guy's resume, and if there's a spectacular failure in the resume, like, hey, what happened here? Well, why wasn't this your fault here? Well, tell me, you know, kind of, you got to defend yourself a little bit. And that didn't happen, so I doubt Ken Harrock will be involved in this next one based on that. But I wonder if Mark feels like maybe he has his down where he can do it on his own at this point. Maybe Tom Brady will help. I mean, Jim Gray could help. Who knows? But clearly, this will be the key. You know, the next pivotal thing for this franchise, and you wonder, you know, how he's going to handle it.
I just want to see that hiring committee of Mark Davis, Tom Brady, and Jim Gray. That's that'd be an interesting hiring committee to walk into. But, I mean, at this point, Brady is not even officially part of the ownership group, and that's all up in the air. So who knows what will happen there, and that, if that'll even be able to come to fruition. You know, what's ironic is, you know, one of the things we had talked about for Ziegler and McDaniels, oh, you know, put on your aces pom-poms, then win another championship, we'll buy you some time. Maybe it was the exact opposite. He won his second straight ring in the WNBA, and he says, like, hey, I need to taste this in the NFL. And what, we're talking a week and a half later after they win their title, he's firing these guys.
Right, there were two really embarrassing losses also, I think. One on national TV, and I think, you know, Deshaun talked about, you know, what he wanted to see, and the bottom line really is that Josh McDaniels is an offensive coach. He's a, you know, he's a play caller, offensive genius, a chess player, and the offense was terrible, and it was getting worse. I mean, Jimmy was awful on Monday, and you're hoping that, I mean, the team was hoping he would bounce back and kind of show why they brought him here. But, yeah, I mean, he was awful. I mean, and I will say, in McDaniel's defense, there were guys open. I mean, you know, Devontae was open a lot in that game, and maybe that's more booking coverage, but other guys were open, and Jimmy missed them. So I just think the game plan wasn't bad Monday night, and the game was kind of close for a while. So it was there to be had if the offense had showed up.
But Jimmy's mistakes are Josh's mistakes, right? Sure. I mean, because Jimmy is Josh.
Sure. And, the offense was terrible. So I think if you're Mark Davis, like, what are we doing here? I'm like, this guy, Devontae Adams and Josh Jacobs, and we can't score points. So, yeah, I think the last two losses definitely were bad enough where he felt like, okay, I've had enough.
Supposedly they had time. Like, they were told they had till 2024, but they were acting like they didn't have time. And it was like self-preservation that doomed them. Like, if they found a way to draft a quarterback, or they maybe started Aiden O'Connell at some point and moved towards the future, or gave some hope for the future, then maybe they would still be around. But the fact that they just kept on fighting for the now and kept on trying to make this Jimmy G thing happen was what ultimately doomed them. It just felt like Josh McDaniels was coaching scared, like, the whole time he was here. You know, with the conservatism, with going forward and fourth down when you're down, just the fact that you think Jimmy G is going to give you this baseline and with no ceiling, it just felt like he was not coaching to win the game. He was like just trying to preserve himself for as long as possible, even though he was promised time to turn this thing around.
Yeah, I mean, I think the root of this is, like, they misevaluated the situation that they were walking into. I think coming off that 2021 season and inheriting a playoff team, like, for us who covered that team and followed them and were around, like, while they made the playoffs and gave the Bengals a run for their money in the playoffs, like, that team won a lot of close one-score games and, like, wasn't that good of a team. Like, you still got to give them credit for, like, what they did and what they pulled off, but it wasn't like they were taking over, like, a ready-made contender. And the moves that they made in that first offseason, I mean, if you're trading a first and second round pick for Devontae Adams, you're giving a 32-year-old edge rusher a $51 million contract, like, you re-sign everybody. Those are moves of, like, we can win right now. We're going for it. We believe we're a contender. And as we saw last season, like, this team just wasn't that. And so the tricky part is, once you make that commitment, there is really no – you can't go back. Like, you can't undo Devontae Adams' contract. And I know they traded Darren Waller, but those other deals they couldn't really get out of. And so you are kind of stuck in this place where you can't really tear it down, but you also recognize that you're not really a contender either. But I think the way that they went about trying to toe that middle line, going out and giving a 3-year, $72.5 million contract to a quarterback coming off of, or that you found out needed foot surgery, when you had a seventh overall pick and draft resources to potentially go get a guy, like, I just feel like they mishandled it. You know, it wasn't the best situation. I'm not going to act like they had an ideal situation this offseason, but if you draft a young quarterback, you know, make some measured moves in free agency, like I said, like, I think even if they, let's say they have the exact same record right now, but they have that young up-and-coming quarterback, I think they probably still have a job, because at least you have something to look forward to and potential improvement down the line. But I mean, with this Jimmy contract, they pretty much were stuck. They weren't good. There was no hope for them to, like, turn it around. And so it just ran out of optimism. There really wasn't a reason to be optimistic anymore.
To me, I don't blame them too much for going in last year. I thought that was probably the correct move, you know, seeing the team make the playoffs, seeing some pieces. I mean, you know, I liked the swing for Devontae Adams. It was within the realm of possibility for them to make the playoffs last year because of all the close games they were in, but they also made a lot of bad calls. And, you know, like, for example, Chandler Jones' contract was a bad move. But still, I mean, they were in these games that they could have won if they made a few more plays. But I mean, that you could.
You mean if they didn't blow 20 point leads?
Yeah, you could put that on coaching too. You know, so they were there, and they didn't quite do what they needed to do. But then from that year on, I think you got to commit to one way or the other. Like, after that year, nothing went the way it was supposed to. So are you going to tear it all down, or are you going to try to, like, keep building on this middle ground? And they should have tore it all down.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
You go back to the offseason. How many times were we all saying, we don't really know what direction they're going? I mean, Vic, Deshaun, you guys both do podcasts and radio interviews, I'm sure during the offseason, during the season, and everyone's asking you, like, well, what are the Raiders trying to do this year? And, like, it kept feeling weird to not have an answer, to say, like, we don't really know, but, like, that was the truth, and I think that's the realization, is that they did not have any clear direction. We didn't know which way they were going, because they didn't know which way they were going.
And worse, every move they made kind of put them in a worse position. They were kind of treading in the wrong direction. Like, they're trying to fix the previous thing they screwed up, and the next thing wasn't a good move. Like, they haven't really hit any draft picks yet. You mentioned Chandler Jones. The free agent moves didn't really help. So Jimmy Garoppolo's been a huge disaster, and now they're paying. Right now they're paying both him and Derek Carr right now, which is not. That's not ideal for a team that can't score. So I think, every move they made things worse. When Mark's looking for signs of progress, and then they keep digging themselves in deeper. So, yeah, they definitely thought they had longer. I'm sure they were both surprised a few weeks back when they probably realized, hey, we might be in trouble. This might not be like, you know, we may not survive this freaking season. So I'm sure that was a realization point.
And their response to that was to start Brian Hoyer and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, I mean, we talked about this before, but to me, it tells you what they think about Aiden O'Connell. They thought Hoyer was better. And so, and clearly, he was terrible in that game. That was also probably another huge, you know, minus of the list for Mark Davis. Like, hey, these idiots can't even get the backup quarterback right, you know, and the guy that they know, the guy they brought in, and he's terrible. So I think it all just adds up. And, you know, I mean, Mark bit that's a huge bite to take that, eat those contracts, and he did it. And so, you know, he's happy to see what happens next. And he's looking forward to the game on Sunday, and I know fans are too.
All right. So McDaniels did not think that O'Connell gave him a better chance to win, but obviously he's not. Other people in the building feel differently, and that's why Aiden O'Connell is getting the starting job now and going forward. Deshaun, you wrote the story on Friday here about Aiden O'Connell and kind of just him stepping into this opportunity. It's somewhat familiar ground from him, just the way that his career at Purdue started, where he was literally ninth on the depth chart and rose his way up. You talked to his college coach, Jeff Brohm. What are you expecting out of Aiden O'Connell as he presumably gets the starting job for the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be growing pains, like with any rookie, of course. I mean, you know, we saw that in his first start against the Chargers back when Garoppolo, you know, missed that game with a concussion. Like, he has some flashes. Like, you know, he's clearly smart and has good timing and throws with anticipation and isn't afraid to fire it in there even if it's in traffic. But, you know, he's a little loose with the football at times, you know, whether that's fumbles or interceptions and, you know, navigating the pocket and learning when he has to get rid of it and can't just hold on to it because Khalil Mack is headed towards 10 sacks in that game, you know? So I don't think that's suddenly going to go away and he's going to hit the ground running and be amazing. But, you know, I think there's some promise there because he's shown that he's been able to work through those growing pains in the past. You know, obviously it's a different level in college, but, you know, at Purdue, you know, when he stepped in for the first time, he didn't exactly set the world on fire either, but he showed, you know, a certain level of composure that, you know, while he learned from his mistakes and tried to improve on them, like, he didn't let them, you know, sort of break him or throw him off his game. And he just sort of slowly but surely, you know, improved over his career there and ultimately ended up being the guy, you know, for them and played pretty well. And, you know, you've kind of seen him be on that similar trajectory, you know, coming in with the Raiders. You know, he got practice time a little bit earlier than he probably would have otherwise since Garoppolo missed OTAs with that foot injury. You saw as a result of that, he played really well in the preseason. And I thought he was at least decent in that start against the Chargers. And he's just sort of been steadily progressing, you know, kind of in a similar way. And, you know, he's having to step into a much bigger role than I'm sure he probably, you know, expected when he was drafted. But, I mean, you just look at him, he doesn't seem like he gets too shaken up by very much. And so, you know, again, that doesn't guarantee that he's going to come in and set the world on fire. But I think he's somebody that the staff is confident and the players are confident as well as teammates from what they've seen so far that, you know, he can kind of ride that wave and continually improve and, you know, give them something, you know, maybe to have some hope about as they move forward with this season. And so, you know, we'll see how he performs in his first game. But, you know, I think at this point, you know, it's the right move, you know, going to him as a young guy and just seeing what you have. Like, maybe he isn't good. Maybe he is a career backup and that's what he is. But really the only way to find out is to put him out there and let him get some reps and try to work through it.
And he just wants to see improvement. He wants to see him get better from that first game we saw against the Chargers. Like Deshaun mentioned, just got to, like, can't hold the ball forever. Got to get rid of the ball. That's, I think, the big thing I want to see this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to watching him also see how he does.
The thing with O'Connell is he's the best pure thrower of the ball on the Raiders roster. I mean, you know, we know Hoyer has, like, a zombie arm. We know Garoppolo has a baby
zombie
arm.
What's a zombie arm?
Like a
dead
arm they had, yeah, like half dead, you know, like they had to resurrect him to drag him.
Oh, zombies aren't half dead. Zombies are dead. Zombies are half dead. Zombies are dead, and they come back to life. And
I mean, he had the throw to one big throw.
Yeah, but I mean, he's the best pure thrower of the ball, and he's also willing to throw it deep. We saw in the preseason that he was very aggressive. He had one of the most air yards per throw of any quarterback in the preseason. So he's willing to throw the ball deep. He can throw the ball deep to Davante Adams, which will keep him happy. You know, he's not a guy that's going to hold the ball watching his film. I think when you watch the Chargers game, I think the speed of the game was moving too fast. So as he gets more comfortable, he's not a guy that's going to be wanting to hold the ball and try to make plays outside the pocket and hold the ball for 4 seconds. You know, as he gets better at reading NFL off defenses and he gets used to the speed of the game, he's going to try to get rid of the ball. He's just not that guy that's going to be breaking out of tackles and be a Joe Burrow type. That's not his game. So we'll see if he can get used to the speed of the game. But like you guys said, the only way to find that out and the only way to get him that experience is to put him out there. And it seems like they're committed to doing that for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think if you look back to him in the preseason, when he's obviously playing against backups and third stringers and the speed of the game isn't as much of an issue, you saw him as an in-rhythm passer. He was a guy that, you know, he would take his drop and the ball was coming out pretty much right as he was hitting the back step of his drop. And so if he can adjust to the speed of the game against starting level players, that's what you hope for him. And I mean, he's found money if he happens to be a guy that develops into a, you know, potential starter for them. That's found money in the fourth round. If they, you know, and he's also, as a fourth rounder, they can still go into next year's draft and, like, draft a guy high. And it's going to be good to at least know what you have there. And that just will help you kind of form your decision. Whoever comes and takes over this team, it'll help form their decision. They'll have plenty of game tape of O'Connell to evaluate. And, you know, we'll see what happens Sunday. I mean, what are we expecting out of this game? There will be, like, probably an emotional boost. You know, they admitted to being just kind of having no energy on the sidelines against the Lions. They're playing a team that, good thing is, the Giants are really bad. I think offensively, what are they, under 12 points per game, I believe, last I checked. They are a really, really bad offense. They are getting Daniel Jones back, which I guess that's a good thing for them.
He's burying Danny DeVito, whoever the hell they had last week.
He is better than Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, it is Tommy. I was making a
he is better than Tommy DeVito. I don't know if he's better than Tyrod Taylor, but so they're getting him back. Maybe that'll be a boost for their offense. But what are we expecting out of the Raiders in this one?
I hope the content aggregators aggregate Vic and be like, Vic reports Danny DeVito is starting at quarterback for the New York Giants.
So, I mean, I think they'll have a ton of energy. They'll be fired up for this one. You know, obviously, helpful to play in front of your home crowd as well with that. And I'm sure the fans will be happy that, you know, the guys they've been calling to get fired pretty much the whole season are now fired. And so I think they'll feed off of that just from an overall team perspective. Offensively, I think it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we talked about the quarterback change, but they also have a new play caller and quarterback's coach, you know, Bo Hartigree being promoted to offensive coordinator. Because not just McDaniels got fired, but also Mick Lombardi, offensive coordinator, got fired as well. And so Bo has never really called plays in his coaching career before, and so it's a first-time thing. And, you know, they're not, you know, starting over with a new playbook or anything like that, so there's going to be a lot of similar concepts from what they've been running. But, you know, every play caller has their own, you know, sort of unique flair to them, and so there's going to be some changes. And so I think that's another thing that could potentially impact O'Connell's performance in this. You know, we'll see if Bo is more aggressive maybe and takes more shots downfield and maybe, you know, on some of those crucial downs, like fourth downs, you know, maybe he pushes it a little bit more. So that'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I've heard some rumblings that they're really going to lean back or try to lean back into the running game this week. Like, you know, we've seen, and some of it has been game flow, but Josh Jacobs' carries have not been the most consistent this year, and I think they're going to go up a lot in this game, just my hunch, based on what I've been hearing. And so maybe that's something that could protect.
I mean, Antonio Pierce kind of indicated that in his presser. Yeah. Like he wants them to get back to controlling the ball on the ground.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that might be a method of protecting O'Connell a little bit going against Wink Martindale, who, while the Giants' defense, like their stats aren't great this year, like he's super aggressive and blitzes a lot, and they do rush the passer pretty well. And that could be tough for a rookie quarterback. And so I think they might try to protect them a little bit with leaning on the run game in this one.
Okay, I get it. Like, you want to protect Aiden O'Connell, but if Josh Jacobs is getting hit in the backfield over and over again, like we've been seeing, and they just keep handing off the ball, that's not a winning strategy. So if the run game works, yeah, lean on it. But I hope they pivot from it if it's not working and just not try to establish the run for the sake of establishing the run.
Well, I think the reason they would do that is they want to preserve their quarterback. I think Wink Martindale definitely is a huge blitz guy. I'm sure he's licking his chops going against a rookie quarterback. And I think plus there's a little personal edge to him. He definitely wanted this Raiders job. He definitely talked to Mark Davis. He has Al Davis ties, and he's long wanted a chance of coaching this team, and they never got it. So I'm sure he's kind of extra fired up. And I think, to me, that's the biggest matchup on the field this weekend is Wink Martindale's blitzes against the O-line and Aiden. So, I mean, ideally, I think – back to Halloween night, I mean, Mark Davis obviously wanted to have the huge, hit the reboot button, and, Josh is gone, Dave is gone, Jimmy's gone. But ideally, you might have held off on the quarterback switch announcement until, like, you have, have them prepare for both guys, have a little more, more of a up-in-the-air kind of in terms of game prep. But they clearly went in and said Aiden was the guy right away. So, I mean, the Giants had all week to prepare for him. So it's a huge test for him against this kind of defense, definitely, on Sunday.
Yeah, I just don't think it's like why, I know he started before, but he's going to throw your rookie quarterback out there and tell you, throw that bitch 45 times. Like, I don't think that's, the Giants' pass defense has been pretty good. And like I said, their pass rush has been pretty good. So, like, them being unbalanced this year is part of the reason why Jimmy Garoppolo has stunk so bad. They got to get the run game. Like, if O'Connell can be whatever, but like, if they can't run the ball and that continues, like, this offense is going to continue to stink. Like, that's just what the case is. And so they have to try to find a way to get that going.
I wouldn't expect them to throw the ball 45 times. If you're trying to lean into the run game and it's not working, then you're just going to put your quarterback in a bunch of 3rd-and-10 situations against a defense that's going to blitz the heck out of him.
Yeah, I think what I'm saying is that they have to figure out the run game. If they don't figure that out, like, this offense is cooked. It is what it is.
I think it's got to be run game and then quick passing. Yeah, we want to see them be aggressive trying to get the ball down the field to Devontae, but that's probably not the recipe in this game where the Giants are going to blitz like crazy. I mean, you're going to have to, have those single read passes where it's just like, hey, you hit the back foot and you get the ball out quick, and it's you either throw this guy or you check it down or you get rid of the ball.
Against this type of defense, you're going to have to eventually just take one on a chin and try to throw one deep, because they're going to be they're going to be playing off, waiting for those deep passes, and those corners are going to be aggressive coming up. And, you're just going to have to try to get a double move and know you're going to get hit and try to hit one of those double moves eventually. Bo Hardigree is going to be the one guy that gives Pierce the best chance of keeping this job, because if he could prove to be one of those offensive coordinators that could make a difference, then you have a good reason to keep Pierce. Because I think, if you have a bad offense and there's really no hope on that side of the ball, and you need to hire a coach to fix the offense, then you probably would have to move on from Pierce. But if this guy proves to be a difference maker, then, that gives Pierce an alley to kind of keep the job, I think.
All right, so in the last 4 days, we've graduated from Jimmy Garoppolo being the Raiders' only hope to Bo Hardigree being the Raiders' only hope.
Oh, Antonio Pierce's only hope.
All right, with that, let's go to predictions. What do we got? Raiders versus Giants. Antonio Pierce's debut.
I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think they get the emotional win in this one. New quarterback, new coach, new day, new era, all that good shit. I think it's going to be a little bit of an ugly game because these are two struggling offenses right now, and I don't think that's going to magically get fixed in this game. But I think the Raiders pull it out and win this one 20-14.
Yeah, I think the Raiders and Giants are kind of in opposite places as far as team morale. I mean, I think the Giants are reeling right now. They just lost a terrible game to the Jets. Things aren't going the way they expected. And for the Raiders, they get this huge morale boost from Josh McDaniels firing. I think they're going to come out and play really, really hard. You know, we don't know where Daniel Jones is in his recovery. But I think they'll come out and win this game. And I think the offense will score more than... No, that's going too far.
I wanted to hear what you were going to say. Come on.
I was going to say, maybe the offense scores over 20 points this week. But, maybe not. I'll say they're going to win 19-17.
I'll be positive. I'll say they'll score 21 points, season high for the offense. But I did not go for the easy pick. I did not pick the Raiders. Like I mentioned, I think the defense for the Giants is going to pose some problems. I'm picking the Giants.
I'm happy. Dude, we can't curse Antonio Pierce this early. I'm happy that one of us is not choosing the Raiders.
24-21 Giants. I think and Saquon Barkley is a tough matchup for this defense as well. We haven't talked about him at all, but he's back to where he was. And Daniel Jones is not terrible. I think he's going to be the best quarterback in the field probably this weekend. So I don't think there'll be an emotional boost, but I think they'll fall just short and have them losing 24-21.
Yeah. Well, to be clear, I think Vic's outcome, for all this positivity, Vic's outcome is what's best for the Raiders moving forward, I must say.
I'm looking long term. I'm looking big picture. Let's get a higher draft pick.
This team needs as high as a draft pick as it could possibly fucking get. So Vic is for the best right now.
Exactly.
I think ultimately this team probably doesn't win more than 5 games. 6-11 maybe is the best case scenario for them by the end of the season. But I'm going to ride with Ted and Tashawn, and I'm going to go with a weird score. 18-11. We go 18-11.
How do you score 11 points? Was there a safety in there?
you get a touchdown with a 2-point conversion and a field goal.
Okay.
All right, guys. Well, it's been a long week. It's been a crazy week, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. But some new energy in the building. You guys get to go talk to the new interim offensive coordinator here on Friday, Bo Hardigree, and we'll see what he has to say. I'm curious who is maybe by the time you listen to they'll advance this. I'm curious who's going to be the backup. Will Garoppolo be the number two? Will they make him inactive, and will Hoyer be the number two? Who knows? But I'm a little bit curious about that. But see what goes down on Sunday.
All right, guys.
All right, y'all.
All right, guys. Adios.
We know Hoyer has like a zombie arm, half dead, like they had to resurrect him.
The head of the lion has kind of been cut off, but it's like a zombie lion. I don't know.